Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in warm downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our friend and colleague Luke Mathers going to be joining us at 10:33. We are going to revisit all the best people. We talked about this once before.
Yeah. This is going to be a regular segment,
you think? I think there's enough there.
There are enough people?
To make this a regular segment. Former President Trump, of course, has said that he only surrounds himself by all the best people.
All the best people.
So we would like to get to know some of these best people. Wonderful. Just a little bit better. So that is coming up at 10:33. In the 11 o'clock hour, really looking forward to this. We're going to talk to two members with the Waukesha Historical Society about Rally Round the Markers. And so this is a driving tour of all of the important historical markers in Waukesha County.
Ooh, I like it.
I know.
Yeah.
And so we're going to learn all about that and where this will take you and all the things that you can see. And it's just another great way to see what's in our own backyards.
Waukesha's really nice. I've grown to really love Waukesha since working for Civic Media. I'm not going to lie. I kind of left it behind.
Well, because you grew up here.
I grew up here, lived the first 20 years of my life, and I was like, that's good. Whatever. And now I'm back. I'm like, this is nice.
It is. And Downtown Waukesha is adorable.
Oh, it's
great beautiful. Great little shops, Wonderful restaurants, A whole bunch of different restaurants. So if you have the chance, come and visit Waukesha. Another good time to come and visit, Greg Bach.
When?
This Saturday.
Why?
Because the Waukesha Farmers Market is going on from 8 until noon. I'm going to be out there along with David, our helper.
That means only one thing.
Scones of peace.
Can we get any sort of echo on my voice? Nothing, Calvin? No?
We'll work on something.
Scones of peace.
Yeah, if you want to chat, I would love to meet you. I genuinely would.
Yes.
And if you want to have a long conversation, which always isn't possible on the air because we do have time constraints.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be out there from 8 until noon this Saturday. Waukesha Farmers Market happens in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank, right downtown Waukesha along the Fox River. And don't just come out to see me. There's food. I mean, every possible vegetable you can imagine. They have grass-fed beef there. They have bakery there. They have
things
you can get for presents and just everything you're possibly looking for. You can find at the Waukesha Farmers Market, so come on out this Saturday. If you want to chat, I'll buy some maple bacon scones from Pig and Pastry, which are so good. And we can share a piece of a scone of peace over a cup of coffee and have a long chat.
And if you're thinking to yourself, well, when I call, we sometimes don't get along and we have disagreeing opinions or, you know, I don't want her to be mad at me. This is the reason why Jane's doing it. She wants to get to know you and talk to you and
Absolutely.
Have these good conversations. So don't be afraid. I can't say judgment-free zone because everyone judges, but it's a safe zone for you to come and hang out.
Absolutely.
Have a scone.
Have a scone. Come on down this Saturday. Waukesha Farmers Markets from 8 until noon. We are going to start off, though, a couple things about drop boxes.
Yeah.
We're back here again. Because of the pandemic in 2020, remember, we were all quarantining and not supposed to be in large groups of people. And so the Wisconsin Elections Commission allowed drop boxes.
Yeah.
So people could still vote without having to stand in lines with lots of other humans who were breathing.
Very simple. Very safe.
That, of course, got tossed out a couple years later. They're back. But not everywhere.
Where, Jane?
The New Berlin Common Council, according to WISN, has unanimously decided against ballot drop boxes for the upcoming elections. The city did first install their ballot drop box in 2020 to reduce COVID exposure. They haven't used them since 2022. The Wisconsin Supreme Court limited the use of drop boxes, ruling they could be placed only in local election clerks' offices and that only the voter could return a ballot in person. In July of this year, the court ruled officials can place ballot drop boxes around their communities for this fall's election, overturning its own ruling in 2022. The decision in New Berlin, according to this article, influenced by concerns from some voters about the potential for lost or tampered ballots, according to the documents of the meeting. We've talked about this quite a bit.
Extensively.
There have been numerous investigations Let's not forget Michael Gableman got over $1 million of taxpayer money to go to Mike Lindell's big conferences where he had all the proof that the 2020 election was stolen. And you know what? Yet never found anything. And yet these lingering suspicions remain. I think ballot drop boxes are perfectly safe and perfectly fine.
They've proven this. And you know who called off the Gableman investigation?
Was it Popcorn King?
It was Popcorn King. You know, Robin Voss.
Yeah.
The guy who said he's voting for Trump. Because Robin Voss has said numerous times now the Wisconsin election in 2020 was fair and it was safe and it was legal.
It was not stolen.
It was not stolen in any way, shape, or form. This is one of those situations where, you know, the whole thing of the concern of the people. I'm not saying you should never listen to the people, but New Berlin Common Council, come on. You know better. You absolutely know better. And if you don't, if you think you're part of this, where's your work? Show your work. They made a movie about this whole thing. That 2000 Mules movie.
And what happened to that movie, Greg Bach?
It got discredited and debunked and picked apart. And pulled. Which we all know doesn't make people go, oh, is that? Okay, then I've changed my mind then. No. But once again, we talked about this before the show. We are going to bring someone on, whether it's from an elections office, to go with you on a journey on how an election or how a ballot is cast using drop boxes and an absentee ballot.
And how they're traced.
How they're traced, yeah.
Because there is a trail.
Yes.
To these ballots.
Yes.
I don't believe you can go to myvote.wy.gov and print off a ballot and use that as your official ballot. I'm fairly certain you can't do that.
Yeah. And luckily, no one's gotten that idea. No one's gotten that idea to use to discredit anything but paper balloted on the day of. You know what I mean? Like, well, what if they just went to myvote.wi.gov and printed it up? Probably because it says sample ballot, and the people who work at those city, town, village halls, those polling places, aren't idiots.
You mean they've kind of been trained?
Kind of been trained, kind of really know what they're doing.
What they should look for?
Yeah, and more importantly, the people who do this work, they have a vested interest in making sure that the process is done from start to finish in a collaborative and fair and correct way. If there's tampering to be done, people lose jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're in lots of trouble for that.
Yeah. So we're talking about it again, and we're going to do what we always do, which is get even dorkier, and we're going to look for somebody who can come in and really walk us step by step through the process. And if at that point you think they're still unsafe, that's on you. Once again, show your work. You can't just be like, well, they're cheating. Okay, why?
Prove it. The other thing that jumps out at me from this decision in New Berlin, again, some of the voters are concerned about the potential for lost or tampered ballots, but not mailboxes.
No.
You can mail your absentee ballot in a mailbox, and you're fine with that, but not drop boxes. And if you're worried about your ballot getting there on time,
yeah,
considering now that Louis DeJoy continues to make things more difficult for our mail service,
yeah,
if you're worried about it being late, you may not want to mail it.
No. I mean, I have...
Because it's got to go to South Dakota to be processed. Okay, that's not true. But, I mean, they've narrowed down the number of distribution centers.
Yes, they've made it harder for you to vote, even... And I know why he's still there. It's not the president's duty. The president has nothing to do with this, apparently, and I thought that was the case, but it's not. But yeah, they just want to make it more difficult. They want to disenfranchise you. They want to disillusion you. They want to make sure that you do it exactly how they... And honestly, there is nothing wrong with on-the-day voting.
Great.
We're not against that.
I do that.
You do that. I've done that. But if you know you're not going to be in town, or two... Sometimes things happen and you just want to get it out of the way. That should be available to you. We got a text from Dave from New Berlin. He says, I'm so ashamed. I feel like I stole an ice cream cone from a child. D- Dave, I'm going to tell you something. The reason why we're talking about this right now is because of you. I saw this article and I thought of you immediately, and I wanted you to know, because the people in New Berlin need to know they've had a method of voting taken from them.
Yep.
And that's all there is to it. There's no evidence to show otherwise. It's been taken from you.
And now, lake-sitting, axe-throwing California guy Eric Hovde chiming in on this. He has suggested, without evidence, that drop boxes can be stuffed with fake ballots. So he wants them monitored around the clock only in Madison. What? So, what?
Because that's where the hippies live, Jane.
Oh, okay.
Where the dirty
That's where the dirty liberals are. Okay.
Yeah.
But they couldn't leave Dane County and deposit this absentee ballot in a different county that's not under 24-hour surveillance?
That'd be super-duper cheating.
Why would that be cheating?
I don't know.
But it is.
It is.
It just is.
Okay, Eric Hovde, you want 24-hour surveillance? You pay for it.
Well, then shouldn't we have 24-hour surveillance in all of our mailboxes?
Shouldn't we just have 24-hour surveillance, period? Because where does it stop then? It stops with Madison. Oh, now we're going to do Milwaukee. Oh, you know there are liberals who live in Green Bay. Well, it's not about liberals. Well, then why are you there? Why is it not Oconto? Why is it not Bayfield? Why is it not Amory? Why is it just Madison? You're sort of saying the quiet thing loud. Say it louder.
Hovde says, who's watching to see how many illegal ballots are being stuffed? Again, when they open the drop boxes and they look at the ballots, there are checks to make sure these are legitimate ballots.
And there's a difference between cheating and simple mistakes that can be made on ballots.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And again, come up with a little evidence. That might be nice.
Love it.
That would be nice.
Love it.
We're going to switch gears when we return. You don't want to miss this. The attacks on Kamala Harris continue. Ooh, just vicious. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, August 13th, primary day in Wisconsin, two very important constitutional amendments on the ballot that would essentially take away the governor's ability to spend federal emergency dollars and give it back to Robin Voss and all the other Republicans in the legislature who love to sit on money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a simplistic way of describing these two constitutional amendments, but we are suggesting that you vote no.
Yeah. And we're going to have people on between today and the election who will explain it a little deeper. And if anyone's trying to paint this as letting the Democrats have a slush fund, that's not what this is.
These are emergency dollars.
Yeah, this is money that's also been approved for spending, and they're sitting doing nothing. So do you like clean water? Vote no.
There you go. Luke Mathers will be joining us at 10:33. We're going to do another segment of All the Best People. Donald Trump likes to say he only surrounds himself with all the best people, so we're going to take a look at some of those who appear to be angling for possibly a spot in a second Trump administration. Mm-hmm. That is coming up at 10:33, but we wanted to do a little segment on this. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
Oh, shucks. Oh, shucks, John Kennedy right there.
Mm-hmm. He is a Rhodes Scholar, by the way. So I love this folksy, I'm just a country boy from Louisiana. Yeah, you are a Rhodes Scholar. He's a very intelligent man.
Is he?
I think he is. Okay. And he was on Fox News talking to Neil Cavuto about Vice President Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president. And they just can't zero in yet on how they want to attack her.
Yeah, they have zero plan of it. It's
pretty random. It's pretty random. So we're going to play this first exchange between Neil Cavuto and Louisiana Senator John Kennedy talking about Kamala Harris. Calvin, let's play clip one, please.
I'm just telling you what the polls show. Many Americans think that the vice president is a little bit of a ding-dong, that she's not serious.
This ding-dong, Senator, has risen in the polls. Mm.
The polling that I've seen shows that many Americans think that the vice president is not a serious person, as I said, that she's a bit of a ding-dong. And number two, that she is a member of the loon wing of the Democratic Party.
And I'm just wondering how you think that will resonate with women.
Oh, we don't care.
She is called nasty and crazy and a ding-dong and all, and disrespectful between you and the president, what has been said about her. I'm just wondering, do you worry how that comes across? And maybe you draw no distinction between a female candidate and a male one, then that's fair game. But that this could hurt you with female voters with these type of comments.
So that's Neil Cavuto interviewing Senator John Kennedy. And I mean,
Cavuto is trying to help him.
Cavuto is trying to help him, you know, make it sound a little more professional, because there are a lot of different ways you can refer to your political opponent that are all respectful, that have a little bite and sting to it. But calling the vice president, former senator, former attorney general, former prosecutor, a ding dong.
Yeah.
Just doesn't really hold water, because you can't ding dong your way all the way up there. And I know, like they say, like, she slept her way to the top. That's not true, for one thing. And second of all, she's still a very accomplished person. She's very qualified for the job. And so you heard Neil Cavuto trying to give him advice. And we have what is John Kennedy's response to Neil Cavuto
trying to help him
in the second clip.
Well, let me say it again. The vice president is a candidate for president of the United States.
Yes.
I don't care about her gender. And, Neil, maybe you do, but I don't. I don't care about her race. I care about her
competence. Then why call her a ding-dong?
And I'm telling you what the polling shows. I'm telling you what the polling shows. And it does. And I'll be glad to sit down with you and walk you through the polls.
Please do, because I never know when it's constructed to call people names. You know, Senator, I just, on the left or the right.
I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but,
what?
But let me say it again.
Senator, you keep bringing it back to my feelings. My feelings matter a little. All I'm telling you is, if you think you can gain this November calling people names, I don't know how far that goes, left or right, but we'll see. It's still early to your...
It's still early.
What we didn't know is that John Kennedy, senator from Louisiana, has polling that actually asked the question, is Kamala Harris a ding-dong? Because he has the evidence there, folks. It shows there. Some people think she's a ding-dong. Some people think she's like, you know, oatmeal cream pie. Some people think she's another delicious treat you have at lunch when you are in fourth grade.
And he'd be happy to walk you through it.
Oh, I would love to watch any person who says that do that exact. We'll show up to his door and be like, I'm here to show you the results of my ding-dong quiz.
Calvin?
Well, it just seems like I don't understand the angle. It's like, oh no, they're calling us weird. Let's act even more weird.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's one thing the Republicans have never been good at is in elected office, is trying to be the funny person.
Yeah.
They suck at comedy.
They do suck at comedy.
And they always come back harder, and they just take an angle that you're like, ooh, it's either like, oh, why'd you say that? But this just goes to prove something. They have nothing substantive on her as far as, you know, she doesn't have massive political failures to talk about. She's the VP under one of the most successful presidents in modern times. And if you don't agree with that, I'm sorry, but the evidence shows you are incorrect. And all they can do is call her names, make fun of her, outwardly or indirectly or directly misogynistic comments. It's all they have.
Speaking on behalf of childless, catless, and dogless ladies.
Wow, what kind of American are you?
I know I have no vested interest in this country. We love it when you smear accomplished women. We just enjoy that so much.
Yeah.
Again, the former prosecutor, former attorney general of California, very small, insignificant state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
U.S. senator, and 4 years as vice president. But she's a ding-dong. And it's not like they can't attack her on some policies, because they can.
They can attack her on any policy that goes against the GOP platform. That's just easy to do. She's a tax and spender. She gives away too much money to the poor. There's a thousand different ways to do it. But instead, they're like, Jay's a ding-dong. Bip, bip.
And does this not just reinforce, at least to childless, catless dog ladies, that this is how you view us? We're ding-dongs. It doesn't matter how accomplished you are.
Yeah.
You're a woman. You're a ding-dong.
Yeah. Calvin?
I guess I don't fully understand. Like, when you call her a ding-dong, you're obviously intending to be offensive. And so why couch it behind this, like, kindergarten language? Call her stupid. Call her a moron. Call her an idiot. Why are we, like, pretending that, oh, I just called her a ding-dong.
So it wasn't so bad.
I think Jane nailed it when you introduced him, which is he's trying to be folksy.
Yeah.
I would never call her an idiot. She is not an idiot.
That would be mean.
But she's a little bit of a loon lefter, if you know what I mean.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, Luke Mathers will be here to talk about all the best people. Edition number 2. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Don't forget to vote. Make sure you are registered to vote. Everything you need to know, myvote.wi.gov. Just plug in your address. Your ballot will come up, all the information you need for the upcoming elections, along with all of your elected officials and their contact information.
Oh.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah, indeed.
Just keep in mind, we encourage you to be polite.
I mean that.
Don't be obnoxious.
Even when they're not polite to you, apparently. Someone called yesterday saying that they got like a little...
That was Tom from Madison.
Tom from Madison. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Don't be rude.
And they can be rude. We're going to be nice about it. MyVote.wi.gov. Delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague Luke Mathers is here. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you all doing?
We are good. We're going to do, this is our second round of this segment called All the Best People, Luke, because when Donald Trump was running the first time and he promised he would surround himself with nothing but all the best people. And so we like to take a look at some of these people and who could be in a second Trump administration. And I think it's important that folks also remember that out of 44 individuals in his cabinet, 40 are not endorsing him for a second term. Some of them have said he is a danger and should never be near the Oval Office again.
And I know it's also, that's 91%. You're welcome.
There you go. Greg doing the breakdown of the numbers. I got excited. I first thought when you said all the best people, we were going to talk Olympics, but you know,
that's then next hour.
It was sarcastically named all the best people.
We never do sarcasm on Matt Nair on air. Luke, you know that.
We're always upfront with what we do, Luke.
And another,
it's a good name though too. I was just hopeful that it was Olympics, but that's okay. I'm excited to listen next hour then.
Yeah, we're gonna do Olympics at 11:50. So stick around for that coming up next hour. Also, a reminder of the high turnover rate within the Trump administration. It was like a meat cutter. It was just the wheel kept spinning. I mean, he couldn't keep people in cabinet positions for more than a couple of weeks in some cases.
How many press secretaries did he have in 6 months?
Oh, yeah. And then he went to a lot of acting.
Yes.
Rather than having them have to get approval, he just made them acting whatevers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was pretty astonishing. Equally astonishing, I find, are some of the things by some of the people apparently being considered for roles in a second Trump administration. The first one we're going to start with, because he's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, is Mike Davis. Now, Mike Davis has held jobs for the Bush Department of Justice. He's worked for Newt Gingrich. He's worked for Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. He was chief counsel for Chuck Grassley when he was Senate Judiciary Chairman, where Davis said he oversaw the floor votes for 278 nominees, including the confirmations of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Now, Davis would like to be named Attorney General.
Ah, yes.
In a second Trump administration, even acting Attorney General. In this interview that he did with Benny Johnson, who's got a podcast, he discussed with Benny what he would do if he were acting Attorney General for, it would only take him a couple weeks in a new Trump administration. Calvin, let's play that first clip from Mike Davis, please.
I have five lists ready to go, and they're growing. List number one, we're going to fire. We're going to fire a lot of people in the executive branch and the deep state. Number two, we're going to indict. We're going to indict Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and James Biden and every other scumball, sleazeball Biden, except for the five-year-old granddaughter who they refused to acknowledge for 5 years until the political pressure got to Joe Biden. Number three, we're going to deport. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million people and growing, anchor babies, their parents, their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the D.C. gulag and Gitmo. And list number five, I'm going to recommend a lot of pardons. Every January 6th defendant is going to get a pardon, especially my hero, Horn Man. He is definitely at the top of the pardon list.
Yeah. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious, you guys. It's going to be glorious.
Kids in cages and traitors be free.
That should horrify people.
Yeah, it's shocking. It is shocking how upfront. And then when you call them out on it, they're like, oh, no, we didn't say what we said. We're just going to it'll be fine. He's already been president before. Don't believe what the clip that we just played you thinks I said. It's shocking how much distance these folks will try to make from comments they themselves are the ones making.
Well, that's been their bread and butter since basically the RNC and Kamala Harris took over for the nomination. It's been walking back statements from J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, all these walking. Oh, no, that's not that. I didn't mean that. I love cats.
Yeah, he loves cats, but he didn't change the fact that he thinks that catless child ladies are psychopathic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently, weird. And apparently
they're
not.
Weird. They're weird people.
They are weird people, but they're scary. This is scary to me. Mike Davis also identified specific journalists that he would like to indict, deport, or detain at Gitmo. So we're just going to jail journalists who say mean things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Against the administration, which is the complete definition of freedom and the Fourth Estate.
It's the next logical step, Jane, when you have these Trump rallies where at almost every single rally, Trump will identify the press in the back of the rally covering the event.
Yep.
And the crowds will turn on them and chant things of lock them up or to the extent of they are the enemy of the people. And so when you have that kind of vitriol that has been ginned up towards the press for the better part of the last 10 years, Donald Trump has been at the forefront of the political scene. This is the type of politician or career activist that you get that wants a shot at being elevated in another Trump term. Because they believe that this stuff, they are truly all in on the rhetoric that Donald Trump has escalated over the last 10 years, And this is the kind of people that he would install in another term.
Well, and as you mentioned, of course, after this got some attention, Mike Davis immediately backed off, tweeting that he was just being intentionally inflammatory. However, some of the things he said are right in Project 2025, as far as deporting millions of people on day one. And I have yet to hear anyone explain how that's going to work.
Well, that's a great example, too. Project 2025, a month, 2 months ago, they were, it's like, it's out here. Read it. Go ahead. The moment some sunlight comes on, they're like, we don't know about it. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it's a guideline more than anything. What guideline is 900 pages long?
It's just a long suggestion.
It's a real long summary.
It's a manifesto. That's what it is. It is a second Trump term manifesto. And for anybody to act like there is any, like, Trump took the Heritage Foundation list for Supreme Court justices, and that is how the three appointees to the United States Supreme Court got there.
Yep.
It is from a list that the Heritage Foundation provided the first Trump administration. If you think for any moment that this distance that the Trump is trying to make from Project 2025 is accurate, you have not been paying attention to what's been going on in politics over the past decade.
We've talked about it, and we're going to keep talking about it up until the election, this Project 2025. There are so many disturbing aspects to this. And every time I look at it, there are more things that jump out at me, including essentially combining the Federal Communications Commission and the Federal Elections Commission and putting that under the president's control. So essentially, then the president could pull broadcast licenses from any media company that doesn't go along with him.
Yeah.
And again, that gets back to what you were just saying. That's the definition of freedom, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just preventing the press, locking them up, doing it. Those are attacks on the First Amendment. Like, those are attacks against what it means to have a functioning society, not even just a functioning government. That's a functioning society here in the United States. And so, When these really, really crazy people that are weird but are going to be very close, like, possibly we know that the entire landscape of this election has changed in the recent weeks.
Right.
Like, there was the polling is going to come out. We don't know where this is going to end up, but a presidential election is going to be between the Republican nominee and the Democratic nominee. Like, that's just what it is. And far too often in recent years, it's been a coin flip. It's a number of states mm-hmm. that decide the outcome of those elections. So it is very, very important. Wisconsin is one of those states. We are going to make it a determining factor of who is going to be elected president come November. And it's very important to be paying attention to where these two sides are on issues like this. And again, any distance that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance want to make from 2025 now is just... It's almost comical, because in the first term, Trump took the Heritage Foundation's orders when it came to who he should appoint to the U.S. Supreme Court. There's no indication that he would not take Project 2025 and the 920 plus pages of it and make it the same reality that he tried with the Heritage List Foundation for who should be on the Supreme Court.
And don't forget that when that child separation policy under the Trump administration, and I remember pictures of four-year-olds mm-hmm. in court. Four-year-olds in court sitting on the desk crying in front of a judge. They lost 5,000 children. The Trump administration...
There are some families that have not been reunited.
To this date, yes.
To this date, there are still families that have not been reunited after the Trump administration's child separation policy.
It took the Biden administration a couple of years to sort that mess out.
It's still ongoing. It's still happening. So, like, the aftermath and the fallout of these things are real. And by all means, it seems like it's only going to get worse if Trump and his political cronies get another crack at this with a second term.
And I want to make something very clear. As Janice said, we have spoken about Project 2025 almost since it was released in the world. Just because you don't know about it, just because you aren't adept at the details, doesn't mean we're being hyperbolic. We're being
the sky is falling,
scaremongering. Just because you don't know the information doesn't make it any less real. That just has to do with how informed you are. So you should get informed. I mean, hey, you might pick up Project 2025 and be like, I like this.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you don't know about it, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So don't tell us that we are scaremongering or telling you the sky is falling, because this is your democracy as well as mine, and it's at risk.
Well, and I think it goes back to the important little math that you were doing, the 91% of Trump's cabinet. Like, if you truly believe this is some kind of fear mongering, it's like, oh, well, it won't actually happen. Nobody from the previous Trump administration that would have been, quote unquote, the adults in the room
right.
to say stop something like this, they're not coming back.
Right.
It is going to be a overwhelming majority of folks like this that want to support and push Project 2025 that will be in a second Trump term. So there's one of those things where it's a lot of pushback that I'll hear is like, oh, it's you're over hyper.
Right. You're overreacting.
You're exaggerating.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And the guardrails that were previously there have all since disappeared, and they no signs that those are coming back either. No.
Well, and if they would go through with firing 50,000 civil servants, that is going to have massive ramifications. And I encourage you to think of your least accomplished cousin who's had a string of jobs and has never been very successful, but he's a diehard Trump supporter. He gets a big job in the IRS because he was at January 6th and he got a pardon. So,
and if you can't think of that cousin, you might be that cousin.
Stay with us. Luke Mathers is here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from downtown Waukesha. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We are doing a segment of all the best people. Donald Trump said when he was going into his first administration, he would be surrounded by all the best people. Most of those best people are not on board for a second Trump administration. A vast majority of them are not on board with a second Trump administration. But so we're getting to know those who are.
These are all the bester people.
These are the bester people who could get a job with a second Trump administration. Now, I don't know that Nick Fuentes will necessarily get a job in the administration. But if you don't know who he is, Nick Fuentes is an avowed white supremacist who goes along with the replacement theory. He's also promoted anti-Semitism. He was also at the white nationalist rally in Charlottesville. And he had dinner with Trump at Mar-a-Lago in 2022. So he's dined with former President Trump. He's met former President Trump. Nick Fuentes weighing in when J.D. Vance was selected as Donald Trump's running mate during the Republican National Convention. He's not exactly excited about J.D. Vance, Calvin. Let's play that clip.
J.D. Vance also has a non-white wife, an Indian wife, and a kid named Vivek. All his kids have Indian names. So it's like, what exactly are we getting here? And that's not a dig at him just because I'm a racist or something. But it's like, who is this guy really? Do we really expect that the guy who has an Indian wife and named their kid Vivek is going to support white identity? Like, there's a white genocide going on in the world. White people are being systematically replaced in America and Europe through immigration and, to a much lesser extent, due to intermarrying. This guy has a non-white wife and a kid named Vivek. This guy is going to be a defender of white identity? I don't think so. This guy's going to defend American identity. If he does, it's going to be no better than any of these other civic nationalists like Vivek Ramaswamy. How else could you countenance American identity if you have a mixed up family like that?
Huh.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, folks who just tuned in while we were playing that.
That's Nick Fuentes.
That's Nick Fuentes.
He had dinner at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump and Kanye in 2022. Weighing in on J.D. Vance as the Republican vice presidential nominee, and J.D. Vance, whose wife was born to Indian immigrant parents.
Yeah.
Very accomplished woman, by the way. She resigned from her job 2 days before he was announced as the pick.
Oh, so you're...
So she could stay home with the kids and be a better
mom. So she
mom.
Wasn't already no. doing that?
No.
Oh.
No. All the best people.
Weirdos. Just that is a weird stance to take, that you're un-American if you're not white.
But
you can only identify and defend American identity if you're white only. I do not understand some of these folks and the fact that there is a draw. Like, as the former president, as on the outside looking in, Donald Trump courted this man's support so that he could try to get the Republican nomination again. That is why Nick Fuentes was dining at Mar-a-Lago back in 2022.
Because he wants Nick Fuentes' followers to vote for
him. This is a person that Donald Trump believes he needs to be buddy-buddy with to be able to win elections. That it is disturbing where these people are on these issues. And I think it is not only a disgusting ideology, I think there are going to be a lot of people in Republican politics that realize, and this is going to catch up to them, how alienating surrounding themselves with folks like Nick Fuentes and these views is when it comes to election time.
I would hope so.
I'd like to believe that, but we're talking about a man of Mexican descent speaking on white nationalism about a woman of Indian descent, and people are still like, yeah, he's got good ideas. So like the idea, it goes back to the, there are no consequences. There are no ramifications for words, actions, or associations too. And he gets to just exist in the world and have more access to power than 20 years ago when these nut jobs were in the woods.
And they were hiding.
Yeah,
they don't have to hide anymore.
No, and they're making lots of money off this, too. I mean, who knows what Nick Fuentes really believes? When the money flashes in front of their faces, they can say whatever they want. I'm not saying he is an unavowed and admitted racist, but it just, like, I don't want to come off sounding cynical either. It just feels like it's not going to matter.
That's why I think the elections are that much more important, because the only consequence that has really shown is the consequence at the ballot box.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it is there. It is people getting together, mobilizing and voting these people so that they are voting against these people so that they are nowhere close to any source of power is the only form of consequence that will hopefully get them back out of the system. Because, yes, I agree, Greg. Nick Fuentes should have zero political power. He identifies himself as a Nazi. Like, he self-identifies as a Nazi. That is not a view that is acceptable in our political discourse. It's not. We fought World War II to beat the Nazis. And
fascists.
Yes, and fascists. And so it is at the ballot box where these consequences need to be delivered. And that's why it's really important to be paying attention, getting ready. We've got an election 2 weeks from today,
August 13th.
And then we've got another one coming up in November. So if you are not yet registered to vote or don't know about your registration status, go check it out and make sure that you're talking to the people in your circles about why it's so important to get out and vote 2 weeks from now. And in November.
Turnout is critical. Mm-hmm. Turnout is absolutely critical. Republicans do well when turnout is low. Democrats do well when turnout is high. So keep that in mind. Go to myvote.wi.gov. Make sure you're registered. Make sure you have a plan to vote. Luke Mathers, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for making time for us. Hopefully we can see you again in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Stay close. News is coming up next. When we return, we are going to learn about Rally Round the Markers going on in Waukesha County. Going to talk to the Waukesha Historical Society. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.